Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Triple Chalice Tarot Presents, The Elementary of Tarot, Exploring the Major Arcana, Part 5. I am your host, Taruk Vishal, accompanied by my two lovely co-hosts, Luna Odette.
Good evening, everyone.
And Rowan Nix.
Good evening.
Like always, you can always find us on social media, all at Triple Chalice Tarot. You guys can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also follow us on our Blog Talk Radio website. You can find us there at Triple Chalice Tarot. You can listen to all of our archives. We have tons and tons of audio for you guys to listen to catch up and learn about the tarot. So let's get it started. Last week we left off with the Justice card. Now the Justice card, this is a card about law and order. This is a card about reestablishing balance. This is a card about law, basically. Okay, so last week we very briefly during the end of the show were discussing her, so I want to finish this and I want to hand it over to Rowan. So Rowan, what do you see when you look at the Justice card?
Well, the Justice card is really a reminder that everything does have balance in this world. What goes up must come down. For every dark, there is a light, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And especially when you get this card in a spread, this is not a card that you want to run afoul of, because this card is also about settling debts. It's about the fact that, you know, whatever you send out does come back. And you don't leave the table without paying your bills. Nobody does. So this can be a good card if you're waiting on justice for something or some kind of retribution, but it can also be a negative card if you have unfinished business in a particular area. And sometimes the Justice card can be a reminder that you need to settle old accounts before moving forward.
Definitely. Aluna, what do you see when you look at the Justice?
Well, knowing justice is astrological association, which is ruled by Libra, we can see the impartiality here that this card talks about bringing about. Sometimes it's best to remain impartial to a lot of situations, especially if they're out of our control. But I like what Rowan touched on about, you know, settling the legal matter, settling old debts. You know, the sword is upright in the Rider-Waite depiction, so this signifies victory. You know, if this card comes up in a reading where someone is, the query is in question about going to court or handling the dispute or dividing property or something that needs, again, impartiality, this card will definitely come up and kind of signify good fortune or good favor in the querying's behalf. Also has to deal with intellect, you know, logic. The sword is very present here. So knowing, also paying attention to what's rightfully yours and standing up and taking confidence a lot of times in things and reaping of what you deserve. You know, the colors here are red. That symbolizes, you know, passion, aggression, a bit of force. Okay, and the law has no emotion attached to it. So that's definitely what I see with this card.
Definitely, and I like how you brought up the sword, which has to do with logic, and the balance on the left-hand side has to do with the emotions and the intellect and the intuition, you know. So it's having that balance of having the logic, having the proof, but also your feelings and what you're feeling, you know. And when that has to do with the law and order, you know, and the courts and things like that, you have proof, but also you know, you have to follow your intuition and what the person says, and, you know, things that go unsaid, the energy, you have to follow it. So it is both the logic and the intuition that, one must follow. So let's talk about the reversal.
Okay.
We could start with you, Aluna. What do you see when you look at the reversal of the justice?
Well, I am seeing definitely unfairness. A lack of accountability, dishonesty, you know. So definitely if this card came up in reverse in a reading where the Aquarian was handling a legal dispute, it seems like there are some things that are hidden. Maybe the Aquarian isn't being all the way open and honest at times. There is something really holding against them, and the law is not in their favor. They're pretty much at fault. Also, you know, this, I feel like this has to do with a lack of, I want to say a liar, because this is showing a lack of morality, because justice is about doing things upright. It is about having a sense of nobility and dignity in how your engagements with people or things, issues, you know. So this being in reverse, I'm seeing a dishonest person, and negative quality traits of Libra is that of being dishonest, being a bit very tactful or tactical, I'm sorry to say. So I definitely see that, the reigning in dishonesty and just
That is very true. The dishonesty is very true. Also, you know, the injustice, you know, of course, the reversal of justice is injustice. So getting things, well, not getting things, but, you know, the result, or, you know, the, what is it called? Like when the trial is over, the judgment, it being not in your favor, it being wrong, the wrong person getting locked up or the wrong person, you know, set free. This is also about, you know, being a hypocrite, hypocritical behavior. You say one thing and you do another. You're not standing in your truth. You're not standing in who you are. You know, you're a liar, a fraud. Okay. So definitely, you know, the justice card, there's a lot of negative things in reverse, in the reversal. Rowan, what do you see when you look at the justice in reversal?
In reverse?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Well, I like that Aluna did touch on the aspects of Libra that definitely go into this card, because it's also been my personal experience that with Libras, they kind of go one of two ways, and if they're usually a more honest or loyal person, then they're very fair, and they're very, you know, diplomatic and tactful, et cetera. But if they're not, they tend to be very conniving, very sneaky, very shady, very much trying to turn the hand of the law kind of a thing. So that definitely goes into this card as well. In the reversal, this card can also show that the eye of justice is on you, so whatever you're doing, you better cut it out, because it's going to get found out with the quickness. It could also mean that somebody's run afoul on you on, like, a business deal, or maybe a lover's not being truthful with, like, a lover's card. You know, it is a major arcana, so it can apply to any area in your life. And I like what Taruk was saying about living in your truth and everything, because that's really what the heart of the card is. The card is about fairness. The card is about making sure everything is set to right so that you can move on forward evenly and not have to worry about the scales tipping one way or the other.
Yes.
Excellent.
Definitely. Okay, so we're moving on to the next card, and it's the Hanged Man. So when we look at the Hanged Man, we see this man, you know, he's upside down, basically, and he has this type of, like, light around his head.
Yeah, like a halo.
The halo, and the blue symbolizes knowledge, and the yellow symbolizes his high ideals. And also, the bright yellow shows spiritual attainment, the halo around him, okay? And then the background being gray, it's suggesting invisibility. So this card symbolizes wisdom, okay? It's spiritual wisdom, spiritual strength, having an inner depth, an inner, it's kind of like, I don't want to say it's like a like Scorpio, but it's kind of that bottomless well, that inner depth, you know. It's a card about mysticism, about the spiritual realm. It's also a card about sacrifice, being able to sacrifice, you know, because a lot of times, you know, when, you know, it reminds me of the monks, you know, they sacrifice everything. They sacrifice love, they sacrifice
being and having a family, they sacrificed a lot of things to sit up on that mountain, you know, in those beautiful monasteries and live their whole lives in meditation. And that's the ultimate sacrifice, to sacrifice your human desires and needs in order to attain spiritual knowledge and a higher, elevated, you know, form of spiritual wisdom. So I'll start with Rowan. What do you see with the hangman?
Well, let me start off by saying that this is probably my least favorite card in the entirety of the Tarot deck because I have such a personal history with it. It's, you know, my own personal demon card. In the upright position, if we're talking about the positive aspects of it, you're right, it is about sacrifice. It is about patience. It's about letting things come to you and not trying to force something to bloom before it's ready. I like that she touched on the wisdom of it because it definitely factors in as far as like timing and knowing when to go about to do something and when to wait, et cetera, because it's very important esoterically as well in your, you know, mundane life as well. And the imagery of the card, it's very interesting because it factors into Nordic paganism where Odin was hung from the world tree Yggdrasil for 9 days and nine nights and, you know, attained visions of the future from other places. And so a lot of the different Celtic and Norse peoples would tie themselves up into trees and, like, sleep for a full week or however long to attain wisdom from the other side. And I think there's a spiritual truth in that sensory deprivation kind of a thing where you shut off the outside forces and let what's within come forth. And that's really what this card is about, is listening
yes.
to it and waiting, timing, etc.
Definitely. And that right there is a sacrifice, you know, the sensory deprivation.
Exactly.
You're sacrificing your senses in order to go deep inside. So it's like you're sacrificing one thing in order to gain another, you know. Aluna,
mm-hmm.
what do you see with the hangman?
Well, I love how both of you talked about, you know, this really being an act of self-sacrificing. It's walking away from the mundane life and really giving up your privilege, you know, societal privileges
mm-hmm.
As far as a luxury house, a luxury car, and you going out and really coming back into term. It's like it's a total perspective change because now he's upside down. So he's looking at, you know, how in certain religions, I'll tell you about the Thailand religion, they view the feet, the monks view the feet as the most offensive part on the body because it touches the ground. And we see
mm-hmm.
here within the hangman's position that he's putting himself in that sort of offensive position that's not really, it's viewed as the lowest. So he's going to the lowest form of perception, you know, like you said, with the monks that they'll go on monasteries, they don't have any sort of sexual relations, they don't have any, they fast, you know, they really and what the process is a reaching towards enlightenment and nirvana is this thing. So what we're witnessing here in the depiction of this card is this person in the hangman position reaching a place of full enlightenment and understanding. And it comes with sacrifice. You know, it comes with giving up some things. So personally, if this card came up in our reading, I would tell the person, especially you might see this card come up for a person who's just very a workaholic, just a busy life, never really stopping to take time and be grateful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the universe giving you a warning to say be grateful for things that you have and stop worrying about the things that you don't, because the universe can give you that lesson of you losing everything. How many times have we seen due to natural disasters or just, you know, looking at third world countries that the real lack that they have and certain things like shampoo and conditioner that we just buy, you know, and deodorant that we just buy,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, we live in such a capitalistic, it's nothing to us. So this card is a reminder of humility and that being the real process of enlightenment and really, peace, reaching peace within yourself. So that's what I see with the card. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Now, the reversal of the hangman, I see this as sacrificing and you get absolutely nothing in return, okay? So this is a card in reversal about giving up, about, you know, losing your feeling, meaninglessness, okay, about it just not meaning what it meant, or you just not receiving, you know, you're closed off to the spiritual wisdom that's supposed to come, so you're not giving enough time and patience and letting these things come to you. You know, it reminds me of like when you're meditating, the first day or the first week, it may not be that easy, but you can't give up. You have to continuously practice and get to that point, you know. This card also can signify, you know, the reversal, you know, frustration, okay, being frustrated. And that can definitely happen when one is trying to achieve a spiritual mastery or wisdom and you're not seeing things or you feel like maybe I'm not doing it right. When I'm meditating, you know, I just hear all these voices and it's just everything so hard. So you just want to give up and just forget about it. You don't want to get into that mode of self-discovery and inner wisdom, you know. So that's what I see when it comes to the Hangman. What about you, Rowan? What do you see with the reversal?
In the reversal, it's funny that you bring it up. If you look at the depiction, I think in the Rider-Waite tarot, where, you know, it has like the violet backdrop and there's the aura around his head, et cetera. If you reverse it, it looks like he's tied to the tree and that the sun is above him. And I think that was very poignantly done because it shows that this person is bound. This person is bound by indecision, by not knowing what the next step is. You know, you're right, there's a sense of frustration to this card of not knowing what the next move is. And it all goes back to that timeliness. And, you know, a lot of the times we can shoot ourselves in the foot by trying to rush something or trying to get to a certain place, or maybe our life isn't going the way that we think it ought to go, but everything happens in its own due course. And as Aluna very poignantly said, you know, there are people out there that are living and happy with so much less than we have, and it's easy to get caught up in the ego and the I want, this is what I need, da-da-da-da-da. But you don't actually need it. You just have a desire for it. And I think that in our consumer-driven society, it's easy to get caught up and think that desire is what we're here for, but it's not. We're here for knowledge. We're here for wisdom, you know, and sometimes that comes from suffering. So if we are in an extended period where we don't know what to do and we're caught in indecision and da-da-da-da-da, it's best just to breathe and go with it. You know, if you fight the current, you're just going to damage yourself. But if you flow with it, it could take you to a better place or take you to a refuge. So that's what I
think. Definitely. Yes. Okay. Aluna, what about you? What do you see with the reversal of the Hangman?
I think you both exquisitely slayed it. But to add to my own, I feel like this card, and I'm looking at the depiction of it in the upright position, I know how you guys see this sort of as a bad thing, but I mean, in the depiction of it and what it's giving to me, I'm seeing that a person being able to be upright and yet still attain that sort of enlightenment. So it seems to me that this person, you know, that, but they are still tied. They are still tied and they are still bound in the situation. So it's kind of like the two sides of the same coin, because even though being bound, they're still reaching a point of enlightenment. So maybe the hardship of a reality that they're experiencing, they themselves are more humbled by it instead of being sort of, you know, because the extreme is being tied upside down. You know, being tied all together, it brings about discomfort. But then to go about and make it even more by hanging upside down, it's like you really are reaching for the bottom. But upright, it seems like the situation isn't too harsh upon them, yet they are still learning from it. They are still growing from it. So it's definitely hints at a period of enlightenment, a period of attainment. But the situation that they've been thrown into isn't as severe, you know. So that's what I see with the reversal, something very lighthearted.
Okay. All right, so let's move on to the next card, which is the Death card. Yay.
Okay. Dun, dun, dun.
The Death card, you know, this is a card that is about transformation, okay? It's a card about letting go of the past. it's a card about new ideas, you know. The part about the transformation, you know, and concerning death, it's kind of like the caterpillar, you know, turning into the butterfly. You know, when it's in that cocoon, that is a form of death and transformation, you know. And that change right there, that newness of that rebirth, you know, that transition right there is the death card, in my opinion. You know, this is a card about renewing the ego, okay, having new ideas of the world. You know, that caterpillar, when it was a caterpillar, it had one idea of the world, you know, it saw the world in one way. But once it had a transformation and that death and was resurrected and reborn as that butterfly, there was a whole new way of looking at the world. Now the butterfly can fly and see the world in a whole new different way. So it is a transformation of the ego and a renewal. And the death card also is a rejection of superficial things. So it is like an evolution. I think the death card, concerning the hangman previously, the death card I feel is what happened to the death man. I mean, not the death man, what happened to the hangman to achieve his spiritual death, okay? So you're in your hangman position, and then you have to achieve that death. That is a form of spiritual death. You know, it's kind of like ecstasy, a spiritual ecstasy, a spiritual death to then, you know, arrive to the other side, okay? And many people are afraid of that spiritual death, but what's on the other side is so much more fulfilling, spiritually fulfilling. Okay, so, Aluna, what do you see when you look at the death card?
Well, my favorite depiction in tarot of the death card is from the Shadowscape tarot, is what I definitely have to say, because what's depicted is a phoenix rising from the ashes. And I think just that mythological association fits so well with what death truly is about, which is transformation, because nothing in this universe is ever truly destroyed. It's just transformed. It's transmutated. And that's what the process of death is, a transmutation, which everything changes, you know, everything, it's the part of the cycle. It's the other side of the luminescence, where on one side is the life in the white, in the yin, I believe, yang would be the darker. So it's the other side. It's represented as a yang factor. And a lot of times, like Tarouk said, we fear that. We fear the uncertainty. We fear the unknown. We fear what's on the other side if it's not, you know, obvious to us or promised. There's nobody besides one person with which we have no testament of who's come back from the grave. We've had people that have had near-death experiences, and they've gone on to see other things, but none of us can truly say. So that uncertainty and apply to all situations when we're so fixed in our lives or so fixed in a relationship, so fixed in a lifestyle, in a routine, and then all of a sudden this transformation comes upon us. And it's usually one that happens very swiftly. It's one without mercy. It's one that, you know, literally sometimes you have to just pick up everything and move on. You really don't have time to mourn. It's such a quick passing. That's really how death actually happens to all things living. It's like one second you're here and the next second you're gone. So it's a power to be respected. It's a power to be awed upon and embraced in a way, because taking the fear away from that transformation can give you the strength and the power that when you're on the other side, when you breach through that threshold, that you can go on and carry on with what you need to do and not be permanently stuck in that death situation. So that's what I see upright.
Okay. Rowan, what do you see?
This is probably one of my favorite cards of the tarot deck, which is funny because it comes after my least favorite card. But this card is really about transformation, and I do love the Shadowscape depiction more than anything because it kind of takes the dread out of this card. You know, this card comes up in a spread and people tend to freak out because people fear death, and rightly so. It is chaos. It is change. And sometimes that can be painful, but what they're actually afraid of is the unknown. But who's to say that where we go next or if we even go anywhere is any worse than here? I think we all kind of have to go through instances in our life where we have to change, and we have to let old parts of ourselves die that don't serve us anymore. And when you realize that, you don't fear death as much because you realize we go through it so often in life. It is a natural part of our existence, this transformation, this, you know, burning ourselves so that we can rise again as something shining and new. And this also has a lot to do with the astrological sign of Scorpio, which is a sign of extremes. It is a sign of either chaos or peace, a sign of great good or great evil, etc. And I think that if you look at it in terms of that as well, and the stars that influence the card, it helps you to understand the card itself as well as to understand the inner reading, you know. So depending on the context of the reading, it can either be something very damaging, like a habit that you have to let go of, or maybe you're coming out of an abusive relationship or something of that nature where you need to start your own life and live on your own. So it's really just perception, I think.
Definitely. Now, when we look at the reversal of the death card, you know, this card can symbolize
stagnation. It can symbolize, fear, okay? Fear of facing change. When I see that in my head, I see like a 98-year-old man who is trying to find the cure to old age, who is trying to find anything he can in order to stay alive, even though he's on his deathbed. He's just afraid of death. But you're going to, you know, it's like either way, you can't, you know, you can't escape it. So it's like you need to embrace it, you know. So we only have like 3.5 minutes left, so very quickly, Aluna, what do you see with the reversal of the death card?
I definitely see, going into what you said, a resistance to that change, being very resistant to change in and of itself, having a hard time letting go, having a hard time moving on, like I said, in the upright position, not being stagnant or stationary in that death, because it is a very mournful experience. It is a very loss experience or the experience of losing. So being able to move on from that is definitely what you need to do. But in this card being reversed, you're not doing that. You're dwelling in the past is what I see in reverse. So
definitely. Rowan, what do you see in the reversal of the death card?
I definitely see the stagnation. I see the accumulation of like past things that don't serve you. You're like holding on to something that doesn't, not going to do anything for you anymore. I think you guys said everything perfectly about it. I really have nothing more to add.
Definitely. Okay, well, thank you everyone for listening. You guys can check us out, like I said before, all on Triple Chalice Tarot, okay? Once again, on Facebook, on Instagram and Twitter, also on Blog Talk Radio, you can find us where you can listen to our archives. In all of our shows, you guys can start from knowing nothing of tarot to becoming tarot masters, okay, by the end of listening to all our shows. So please do that, okay? So once again, I am your host, Tarouk Bashal, accompanied by Aluna Odette and Rowan Nix.
Good night.
Good evening.
Good night, everyone.